says in the Pasuk, I saw in Tam Tavot from Chatzkel Abramsky just before, it says, this week said, this is V'edaba Hashem Moishelemo, Aseh Lecho Shtei Chatzoyitzus Kesef, Mikshu Taaseh Oysom. It's talking about the Chatzoyitzus, you should make Chatzoyitzus, what's the English translation of Chatzoyitzus?
Trumpets.
Kesef, out of silver, Mikshu Taaseh Oysom, for Chalimikro Eidot, that's how you're going to call, that's how you gather, Chalimikro Eidot, that's how you gather the congregation. When you blow the trumpets, that the chatzoitzes, that's how you communicate to the people that it's about time to move. Rashi dashens haselecho. What does he mean? Haselecho, make for yourself trumpets. Haselecho, make you for yourself trumpets. Why for yourself? What's haselecho? Make for yourself trumpets. You should be hasesh te chatzoitzes. You should say to Moshe Rabbeinu, make two trumpets. Why make yourself two trumpets? Rashi says, and it's antavot. It's in Medrash Tanchuma. He says, you shall make it for yourself. You make it. You make the trumpets and you use them. And you use them. But not somebody else. And indeed, the trumpets should be used by Moshe Rabbeinu, but future generations, they have their own trumpets. And in the halacha gepaskin, that trumpets were interchanged. Every generation would have different trumpets. The Kohen Gadol would use different trumpets, and it wouldn't be human the same ones, which is obviously very strange, because why is that? The menorah wasn't changed every generation, nor was the Mizbeach, nor was the Oroin, nor was any of the Kelim in the Mishkan. They were not changed every generation, but they remained sometimes for centuries. Yes, there's halacha that if they were not usable anymore, they could, but the main kelim that we had, they were not changed at all. So why is it that? So why is it that the trumpets had to be changed? And Moshe Rabbeinu chatzotzes, you make for yourself trumpets, but after Moshe Rabbeinu finished using them, when he wasn't his days anymore, they were removed and others were created. Why trumpets were changed? So I saw Reb Chatzkel Abramsky says the Moedig Avot. That's such a beautiful word. He says because the trumpets symbolizes and means communication. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu had a certain sprach, a certain way of communicating to his generation, which may not have been the correct way of communicating to the generation after that. The way Moshe Rabbeinu communicated was his own trumpets, his own way of communicating, but the generation after that, they needed their own trumpets, they needed their own way of communication. And just because he was the right trumpet for Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation, doesn't necessarily mean he was the right trumpet and way of communication for the generation after that. Hence, this is symbolized by you can't use last generation's trumpets. You cannot use what was right for last generation doesn't necessarily mean it's right for this generation. And what's right for next generation is not necessarily what's right for today. It doesn't represent communication. Trumpet is gathering, get people around you, was a way of communication.
The way you communicate
differently. Yeah. We have communicate. You have to speak to people differently every generation. They need different things. That Reb Chatzkel doesn't say. But it does remind me, I have a great uncle, my mother's uncle, his name was Reb Chatzkel Reich. He was already in Hungary, in Ukraine, before the war. He was from like, I don't know, his father was Rav, his grandfather was Kopel Reich, his great-grandfather was Kopel Harif, like generations, I don't know, until from the Maharal, the way down, all the way down to him, all Rabbonim, without fail, one generation after the other. When he moved out, just before the war, he escaped, and he ended up in Bournemouth. I think it was Rav in Bournemouth for a few years, just after the war, and eventually ended up in Eretz Yisrael, where he was Rav in a shul. And he was Rav for shul for many, many years, and when he hit about, I don't know, 80 or 90 years old, he retired. He retired, and he was physically doing very well. He was physically fine. So people asked him, why are you retiring? You know, you know, you're Rav, you've got a shul. Why are you retiring? It's not so common for Rav to retire. So he said, why are you retiring? So he said, because I just realized, he was 80, 90 years old then. He said, I realized that the way this is going back a number of years ago already. He said, I realized that the way I communicate to people, that's not relevant for today anymore. If I can't do the job anymore. And you have to communicate to people in early generations. I'm like in the business for four generations. And the tricks that I know, the tricks of the trade which I know now, are not relevant now. It's a different generation now. And therefore, I can't keep my job and I have to give it to somebody younger. And he retired. He lived on for another 10, 20 years. But as a Rav, he realized that every generation has got a new way of communicating. I think it's a fascinating story. And I think the makor for that would be this Rashi, this Medrash Tanchum over here. Yeah, I think that. No, what you're tying, Reb Gideon, do you agree? Yeah, it's truth in it. Yeah. Yeah, things that. Good. Okay. We are up to the end of Siman Shin Yud Aleph. We are doing Siv Chesiv test today. Hopefully we'll start Siman Shin Yud base as well. So Siv Chesiv is telling us a rule. When this will address a general, very important, I finished up the shiur last night with that, a general, very important rule of thumb with regards to muktzah, which may be relevant to many, many cases. Tiltul min hatzad atzorech tovah mutar. Tiltul min hatzad is if you don't actually physically move the muktzah, but what you're doing is tiltul min hatzad. You are moving something. Rabbi Oslan, I need your English. What's tiltul min hatzad? Not directly, but in the haphazard, not haphazardly. Okay, you know what? We'll give the case and you say what.
With the shinui or with the.
Nearly. Well, you know what? It's not mamash shinui. Let me give the case and you give the translation. Tiltul min hatzad letzorech tovah mutar mutar. Something which is tiltul min hatzad for if you're doing it for the mutar item, it's permitted. Hilkach, the example is, and we're going to understand with the example. Hilkach, therefore, tznoin, if you've got a radish. Okay. Now remember, there was no fridges then. How do you keep things fresh? How do you keep a radish fresh?
In the pantry. In the dark.
Yeah. Salt. And yeah, no, not salt. Not that. No. In the earth. In the cold, fresh earth. So snoin shetoman ba'oretz. You have a radish. A lot of vegetables were kept in the fresh. It's a good idea, no? It's been picked, but you keep it. You put it in the earth. It's nice and cold, dark. You put the radish in the earth. There's a bit of leaf sticking out. But the radish is in the earth. And some of its leaf, megulim, are revealed. And certainly there is no roots have started coming out. No, because all times roots can come out again from the radish. No roots. Also didn't intend to plant it. That wasn't my idea. My idea was simply to keep it fresh. Noitlo, you are allowed to pull it off. Afal pi, although shebenetilosoi, by pulling it off, mazes ofor mimkoimoi. I will inevitably move some of the earth. Inevitably so. Yet it's mutter. And the earth is mukta.
Is it Marasan as well?
No.
Very
good. Yeah, no, so yes, good point. So the answer is no, because it's done in a way that is not ma'asai, because you do it in a place in your house that normally you wouldn't necessarily plant. You're actually putting it in a place where there's more shade, and not necessarily in a place where there's sun. So therefore, but the halacha is, you're allowed to put it off. The chiddush over here is, you take a radish, and instead of putting it in the fridge, you put it in the earth. No.
It was there before Shabbos.
A bit of leaves are sticking out, but the actual radish is in the earth. Are you allowed to pull it off on Shabbos if you need a fresh radish for a salad? Put it off on Shabbos. So in terms of pulling off from the ground, it's not something which is growing. There's no roots pulling out. But you're right, if there is roots coming out, you wouldn't be allowed to do that, because then it's growing again. So never mind that. There is no element of uprooting, none of that, because it's not growing anymore. You're simply keeping it there as an alternative of a fridge. Now you're pulling it off, but the shine of it is that you're putting off by its leaves. You're taking it off. The earth surrounding the radish is mukta, and what you are doing by pulling off the leaves, by putting off the radish through its leaves, you're moving the earth around it, and this is considered moving mukta. You are moving mukta. Are you allowed to do this? Yes or no? The halacha is yes, you are. Why are you allowed to do that? You are indirectly moving the mukta. And the answer is because this is considered and called tiltul min hatzad.
Why is it not like the eva? The eva, you designate it before Shabbos for something that you
needed. I don't need the earth. I didn't designate the earth. Yeah, so no, it's not. It's not that kind of scenario that I've this earth over here, and this over here is designated for that. If I would have done it, you're right, Robert Feingold, if I would have a pot of earth, which I designed, designated before, it's not, it's like the fridge. I've got this whole area on the other side of the, next to the wall, I've got this whole area over here, which is where I keep my fridge radishes. It's not designated, it's not that earth here. I wouldn't be able to say this is designated, and this is not, it's all area, yeah. Yeah, so let's just define it. Good, let's see. So this is referring to your point, Rabbi Ketanke, that it's like hishresh, that it didn't up, there was no roots there. I also never intended to plant it again. My intention was never to plant this radish again. Lo nischav lezria. Not lo, you are allowed to put it off. Afalpi, although, shebenetilosoi, pai, taking it off, mazes off, for I am moving earth, mim koime from its place. Ve'afalpin, although, shahoysif, machmas, lachuzakaka, mutin, although maybe there was moisture around it, which would have been beneficial for the radish, doesn't make a difference. Because I'm allowed to take it off. So now, why is this mutter? Why is this mutter? So the Mishnah Berurah's words are, Sifkon Chovchais, Avu Bishabinetilos, Rotzalem, Adim, Kolmogum Rak Tiltul Minatzadu. This is moving from its side. Now, we need a better translation. I'm still waiting for you to give a good translation. What are you doing is Tiltul, I'm moving it, Minatzadu from its side. The side over here is the leaves. Because I'm pulling off through the leaves, I'm pulling it out. And the earth is. Is what? It's tiltul min atzad, from the side. Why is this not, why is this not direct mukta? What makes it not direct?
Because the earth is just battle to the...
Bittle is not the word. It's the fact that it's, I'm not moving the earth directly, it is being moved.
It's called displacement.
Displacement, that's the word? The intention is the taking of the radish, which is the mutter item.
You want the word describing what the radish is doing or what the earth is doing?
Earth. I don't know why it's tiltul min atzad.
Because it's just being flicked out the way.
It's flicked out the way. So,
but I can't understand why it is mutter, because actually the earth is in. Because the earth is intrinsic to the cooling of the.
Thing. Yeah, but I'm not interested in the earth. I'm interested in its knowing.
So, the earth is ancillary to the... Well, how ridiculous a word do you want?
Incidental, isn't it? That's what
I'm
saying. Yeah. The earth is just incidental to the...
Yeah, what's the... The equivalent is tiltul min atzad. What was your case, Abgideon?
Oh, it's pulling out, say, from this, pens in front.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
I need a sefer. In front of it is a pen. I'm pulling out the sefer. The pen is going to fall down. Tiltul min atzad vehu mutter.
Decluttering what's in the way.
Yep, decluttering what's in the way. Like the earth over here. Yeah, that's mutter. You're going to say, but one second, I know for a fact I'm going to move this mukta item. I know I will move mukta. Why allowed to do that? Mukta is the rabbanon. How can you move mukta? The answer is because I don't really care about the mukta. What I'm trying to get is the mutter item. Directly would be also.
Do you have to put your hands on the radish leaf and yank it out then? You can't actually.
Yes. This is correct. This is correct. Yeah. So Rabbi said this is a very important rule and I think this is very relevant. We're learning now tiltul min atzad is mutter. Tiltul min atzad is mutter. When else do we use it? That's more with the bosses, halachas, I think. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's case number one. I'm finishing off the words of the Ramah. Even if he was there before Shabbos, he was there for the whole Shabbos. Then, because there's no halachas of bosses do not apply here. This is case number one. Now we're moving on to case number two. Yes. You want to pull out the Dvar Torah? Yeah, that would be okay.
You're going to move to the side.
If you, as long as you are All you're touching is the. Yeah, the chayre, it's going to be that. No, Rabbi Frankel, what do you tell me? That if the chayre, you're going straight to the, all you're directly only moving, you're taking away the, you're taking the Shabbos, the Dvar Torah, whatever it is, and by doing that, other things are going to be moved. That's mamash the same than the radish. Yeah. Yeah, if there's Taurus, yeah. Perhaps. No, I don't think so. I mean, on the normal circumstances. Vetiltul begufoy. Now, another case, heta number two. Vetiltul begufoy afilu tzirchtov osu muta. Now, this is called tiltul begufoy. There is a famous machlokes mishnebur chazanish on this. We're going to go comfortably with the mishnebur's opinion, which is as follows. Tiltul begufoy, that means the moving of the object through your body. Begufoy, through your body, is muta. Hilkach, the case is kasha lamito. You have got hay on your bed. The summer muktzah la'asokon, which is muktzah, normally that hay, that straw is there, normally for hasokah purposes, for burning purposes. It's normally meant to go into the heating place as fuel. It ended up on your bed for understandable reasons, end up on your bed. You've got this fuel on your, which is muktzah. Now, menaneo begufo, you're allowed to shake it. How are you going to go to bed? So you have to do is minaneh begufoy. This kash is on the bed. Minaneh begufoy. You have to shake it away through your body. V'miniach lov miboydoyim kavol kes minaneh afilu biyodoy. Shari inchino miboydoyim lishkavolov. V'chinim choshav lishkavolov. The halacha is that he's telling us tiltul begufoy is muta. Let us see mishnebrus if kot lamed perush. She'enu negia biyodoy. You're not moving this straw with your hand. Rather, ki im begufoy oy beshar evarov, you are moving this straw which is on your bed through your body or any other limbs. Makilino boyoyse mishar tiltul minatzar is even more lenient than the early halacha. To move something through begufoy, tiltul begufoy, moving a mukta object with your body, and that is the halacha of tiltul begufoy, and that is muta. Begufoy means anything which is not your hand. Elbow.
Yeah. Your example there was a cushion. If you left something on the cushion, it would never have been on the cushion. So your example was to turn it over.
Yeah.
That's why I can't move it with your...
Yes.
So here it looks like the same
thing. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is that there is a machloek as Mishnebur Chazanish. Mishnebur is Matir. Chazanish doesn't like this heta. But what is important for us to know is that if the norm is, everybody agrees, Mishnebur I think will agree as well, that if the norm is to move this object at times with the elbow, if you're just busy, if you have something in your hand, you will occasionally do this action with your elbow, or you will occasionally move this item with your leg, for whatever reason, is then the head of tiltul begufoy won't apply. Tiltul begufoy is only based on the fact that it's a very regular way of moving this object. If at times you will push away this, you will at times push something off from your bed with your elbow, it's not that weird, then you'd have to think of an alternative. So that's the, but otherwise in a standard conventional case, kim begufoy b'shar evarov is muta. Steve Tess, peyer zatzmunim. Zerach gufo mekoymoy? Yeah, if it's not, if it's some mukta items, you're allowed to do that. Yeah, and then if you need the place, yeah. But not, yeah. Peyer zatzmunim b'teven oy b'kash hamukzin. Now, this is a case of a fruit, which is peros atzmonim, which are in a pile of teven or bikash hamuktzin. Teven or kash is all types of the grain has got the shell around it, an actual stick of the various parts of the grain. And you've got peres, fruit, which are within that. Maybe to keep it fresh, maybe for other reasons. They're in various items of very, they're in, like in grain and the what's it called? The husk. What's that called? Grain is called, Husk around it. And it's all various parts of it. And fruit is kept within that. So now, betevenoi bekasha muktzim, which are muktza. There's no purpose in them. Yocholit chavuemachat oi kosh. We're not allowed to take a pin or a needle and take the fruit out of this. Vakash ninam elav and the muktza straw, grain and husk around it is going to be moved. So this is the following scenario. I've got peres which are kept maybe for freshness. They are kept within this tevan or kash, which are, as you see, Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Lamed Hei. Tevan or akone, haniktzerim ha-shibolis. The tevan is the stick, must be a better word. Pardon? The hawk?
Stalk,
thank you very much. Okay. The stalk, thank you very much. The stalk of the wheat, which is normally cut. The kash, and the kash is mashinisha besodach akti, that's the leftovers which are left in the field after cutting. So there are various parts, this is like basically the leftovers of cutting the wheat. And you keep fruit in that, maybe for freshness, maybe for other reasons, just protection. The amukta, there's no purpose in those parts. The amukta, and you have the fruit in there. Now you want to take a fruit that because you fancy an apple. If you're taking it out, what's going to happen? Inevitably, the things around it are going to get moved. You're allowed to do that, yes. So no, the loch is yes, you are. Why are you allowed to do that? Yeah. So we're learning over here, Yocha Litcho Vem Machad or Koish Venoitlam. It has to be through a pin or a needle. The Mishnah Berurah explains, if got Lamed Zayin, Yocha Litcho Vem Tiltul Min Atzad Tzorich Tov Amuta. It is considered Tiltul Min Atzad for the Tzorich Tov Amuta. Veshoi Min Izmuta Azin Tziv Ches. V'kol Zek Shir Tomun Betevan Amukze Shemunach B'mkoyim Ovel Asoka. This is if he was hidden in the tevan, which is mukta, and he was there, and the Chiddush over here is that if you do that, this is random, what do we say it's called? Stalk and random things which are, and you want to just take the fruit out to eat it, so then it's mutter. But if the truth is that if you had, you had taken some of it in advance, let's say you made a bowl or a box or something, and you had all that in there, and there was a few fruit pieces in there, and you tried to keep them, you designated some of it in a box, or you designated some of it in a certain area, and in a surrounded area, then this wouldn't be muktzah. Even the husk around it, the wheat around it, wouldn't be muktzah at all, and then you wouldn't have to worry about it. So maybe that's the chiddush, the chumrah over here, that's only if it's not designated, not pre-designed kind of kashrut heaven. Because if you have found kashrut heaven initially, and you before Shabbos you put fruit in there, that would have been okay even without, that would have been okay anyway. You wouldn't need to do tiltum in atzad. Simon Shinyut Beis is going to tell us, Anitzach Lenekov, Mimikanach B'Shabbos. He's going to be discussing the halachas of Kinuach B'Shabbos, and the halachas if somebody is being excused on Shabbos, and how should he clean himself? And the halacha is, of course, based on the fact that there was no toilet paper in those days. There was no toilet paper, so what was used was stones, pebbles. Paper didn't exist the way we have got. All there was kraf, and obviously, so the people used it, the gemaras in various places that you'd use pebbles. Hanitzach lekobah mekanech b'shabbos mishum kvoida priyas etiru netaltel avonim lekanech. Stones and pebbles are muktzah. So what are you going to do? Pebbles are muktzah. So how is a person mekanech himself? The halacha is because kovod abrias, they pushed away the halacha of muktzah. Pebbles are muktzah generally, yes, but kovod abrias, pebbles, they were mati pebbles. Mishum kovod abrias etiru netaltel avonim lekanech ufilu la'anoisam milagag imoy. Even if you are taking it on a gag in a rooftop. Where he wants to relieve himself. Although there's a great tikhah to move all the pebbles up, nevertheless it's mutter, it's covered abrias, and therefore it's mutter. And if a person has got a designated place for beis hakisei, an outhouse, he can take with himself pebbles with him. It's mutter again. It's not mukta because of the brias. And if there's no designated outhouse, no machnes imoy kishir buch nektana, then you can take a different amount. If it's not designated place, you can take a buch nektana. Buch nektana is like a hammer to pound some spices. That's the shear of buchna of that equipment. That is how much a person is allowed to take. Of pebbles. At times, he's allowed to take a bit more than that. If stones have been designated beforehand, then it's a bit more lenient. Now, the Ramon over here is going to tell us, maybe we're going to leave that for next year. He's going to tell us that Yesh Oim Dafil Mekamnes Rosh Yoch in Ami Shori, Nor Nami Einu Rakis and Rabbono Mishum Kvod Abriya Setiru, he's allowed to carry. What happens if a person is going to, is in a Beis HaKisit nowadays? Nowadays, a person in a Beis HaKisit, there's no toilet paper. And the only place he can get toilet paper is from another house, and he has to go to Rosh Yoch, he has to carry on Shabbos. A person has to carry on Shabbos in order to get toilet paper. You're allowed to, yes or no? So we'll leave that for next year, Beis HaShem, because that's what the Rimo is going to answer. Fine, okay, we'll finish. Good Shabbos, Abbo Yisrael.